Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, hello, and thank you for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. And the topic of today's show is really a woman's show that we're going to be talking about, because the topic is the hidden meaning behind fibroids. And this is actually a suggestion from a listener from London, England, who emailed me and asked me if I'd do a show on fibroids. And in fact, I even did a teleclass on fibroids and fibrocystic disease from the standpoint that it's such a common thing with women. So when I got this email, I thought, what a wonderful way to be able to put it on air so then we could reach more people. And she wrote me in this email and she said that her sister suffers from uterine fibroids, and as a result is having difficulty having a child and really would like to have one. And this is a common issue that I find and a common complaint that I find a lot of times when I'm doing my readings and dealing with women who have the presence of fibroids in the uterus itself. So, again, it's a very common problem. In fact, it's one of the most common problems for many women. And up to 40% of women 35 and older actually have fibroids. They can be either small or large, there can be one, or there can be multiple, and these fibroids can either exist in the breast area itself or in the uterus. And while these really fibroids are non-cancerous and they have very little chance of becoming cancerous, they can actually become very painful and worrisome, and in the case of my listener from London, England, they can actually prevent the egg from being able to embed in the uterus the way it needs to be able for it to form into carrying a child full term. So many times women with fibroids may have difficulty getting pregnant or being able to hold the pregnancy due to the fact of the fibroids itself. So I want to thank Marcia for sending me this suggestion, and also I'd like to let all of you know that if you have a suggestion for me about a show, a topic that you'd like me to do a show on, then go to my website, www.reitberger.com. That's Reitberger.com. And then send me a suggestion, and then if I use it on the air, then I will send you an autographed copy of my book, Healing Happens With Your Help. So for Marcia and all of the women that are listening or know of someone that's suffering from fibroids, I hope that you find this information of value and realize that it's something that eventually will go away, and it isn't always necessary for surgery to take place in order to get rid of them. And I'm going to be sharing some of the different ways that you can deal with fibroids to be able to shrink their size or to be able to eliminate altogether having the presence of thyroid, fibroids itself. So anyway, that's going to be the topic today. Again, I hope you find it of value. I'm also going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health, or you have a question for me about fibroids, or any topic that you would like to have some information where I can share my medical intuitive skills, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada, as well as international callers. Only difference for international callers is you'll need to dial your international calling code prior to the number 877-230-3062. I would also like to invite you to my free Your Health teleclass. It's going to be happening Thursday night, March 31st, at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. That's 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And the topic of this month is something I think that every single one of us, male and female, can really value from tuning into. And the topic is going to be on stress. And I'm going to be not only looking at stress from that clinical perspective, a general description, and describing how it really affects the body, but I'm also going to be sharing how, as a medical intuitive, I find certain hidden psychological meanings behind stress, and specifically for stress-related illnesses. And one of the things, besides the diabetes, when we think of food and type 2 diabetes in our diet, stress is a major contributor to diabetes. It's a major contributor to cardiovascular disease, major contributor to headaches, and also autoimmune disorders. So I'm going to be looking at each one of those different connections between stress and that particular illness and what are the psychological meanings. And then also, what does stress look like in the energy field? I think that's always very important, because if we can get a visual of how it's affecting that non-visible part of the body, then we'll be able to go in and to change the picture and, as a result, change the energy flow in the body. And then also spending time in the teleclass as talking about the role your personality plays and what causes stress, and then also how does it impact your body. There's actual mapping systems that can say that if you're a certain personality, such as a green, in my world I do it by color, then you're first going to feel that that stress in your shoulders. You're going to lock your jaw down. You're going to get the muscle tension. The neck is going to get stiff. And that's the first way that your body says to you, okay, you're into a stress situation. It's time to step out of it, take a deep breath, do something different, and be able to manage it and minimize the impact that it has. So a lot of information I'm going to be sharing. And then also a variety of stress busters that you can really use anytime, any place, and then alternative choices. So again, the teleclass is free. It'll be March 31st on a Thursday evening, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. You can register on my website, www.rickberger.com. And I hope you'll join me, tell some friends, and I will see you on the phone on March 31st. So one of the things that I'm always asked as a medical intuitive when I'm dealing with anyone with fibroids is that, you know, what are some of the contributors? Why do we as women get fibroids? And when we look at it from the standpoint of the body, really what it comes down to from a physical standpoint are four different aspects that really contribute to the formation of fibroids. Too much estrogen when we're in the stages of our life where we're estrogen dominant. So we have too much estrogen that isn't being processed by the liver. Also, we have an underactive thyroid. There's why that thyroid kept popping up. Hypothyroidism, sometimes we can find a connection between fibroids and hypoglycemia. So anything that has to do with an underactive thyroid. Also, too much caffeine contributes to it, as well as too much fat. Now, our body does need to have fat, but we need to be, especially in the years where we really get in, where the estrogen's flowing very strongly in the female body, we really need to watch the types of fat that we're eating, because too much fat will then go in and it has to have a place to store. And what it does is it sets off a chemical chain reaction. Fat cells actually store estrogen because we never know, the body never knows when it's going to need it. So it'll be very important for you to really watch the amount of fat so you don't have the increase of fat cells and then fat has to go somewhere. And sometimes it can be triggered into the forming of fibroids itself. Also, women who tend to be on high dosages of birth control pills has a greater predisposition to fibroids, and that's primarily because of the increased estrogen and the increased progesterone, and we create that faux situation to where the body isn't able to get pregnant. So again, those are the four primary reasons from a physical standpoint that women seem to develop fibroids. And that first cause that I talked about, that excessive estrogen, I need to let all of the women that are going into that perimenopausal stage, that menopause stage, is that what's going to happen if you do tend to have excessive estrogen, meaning you're estrogen dominant, then the fibroids themselves are going to take care of themselves as you enter into menopause, because the fibroids aren't going to be receiving that their food source, which is basically estrogen. So they will eventually diminish. They will eventually go away. However, if you aren't in that age cycle and so forth, then what we'll need to do is really have you focus on the liver. And what I mean by that is the liver is part of the waste management plant of the human body. And what it does is it stores different things such as a waste, such as estrogen, where it's not metabolizing it properly or using it properly. It'll actually store it. So one of the things that you can do for the liver is the liver loves to have greens. The best food that you can ever feed your liver is greens. And what that is that in the greens is that, you know, vegetarian diet, or you want the greens that are high in chlorophyll. You might want to explore spirulina, wheatgrass. If you don't have a gluten intolerance, you might want to look at barley greens and so forth, or go to the store and buy those good healthy greens. And what it does is it's a natural purifier for the liver itself, and then also it helps the liver remain healthy in its connection with red blood cells. So, in fact, the liver is part of not only the waste management, but a lot of reasons. A lot of times if we have anemia, it's the fact that the liver is not working properly. So what we can do is change that fat diet, as I talked about, and then also if you are experiencing and suffer from fibroids and they seem to be getting larger and larger and they become painful and everything, you might want to really explore looking at a vegetarian diet. Now, it will be important if you choose to go that route that you do find ways to be able to get your protein, because the body needs that as well as the brain needs that. So those that's the first and foremost thing as far as how, what you can do. And what I'm going to be doing in the next segment is I'm going to be offering some other alternatives that you can use other than surgery. The issue with surgery is that while it takes care of the problem at that time, for example, I did a reading on a woman the other day that had a uterine fibroid that was about 5 centimeters, huge, huge, and it was very, very painful. And what we discussed is, the discussion was around surgery. In this particular case, surgery was appropriate. But if we don't go in and make some of the changes that we need to, both physically and then also from an emotional standpoint, then what will happen is the fibroid itself will tend to come back. So again, it takes care of the problem. And that's what surgery does, but it doesn't always eliminate the problem altogether. Some of the symptoms that are associated with fibroids, so you can have a very clear picture of what it is. And working with breast fibroids, what you're going to do is you're going to get that painful breast swelling. That's going to tend to happen around the menses cycle itself, where you're flowing estrogen in order to be able to prepare both the breast and the uterus for being able to potentially get pregnant. And then all of a sudden, you get the message, your body gets the message from progesterone, oops, we don't want to do that. So the combination with the painful breast swelling has to do with the dynamics between estrogen and progesterone. Also, some of the symptoms with uterine fibroids are excessive bleeding, sharp and chronic pain in the low abdomen area. This will actually become worse when you're ovulating. Also, pelvic inflammation. Endometriosis is also something that is associated with uterine fibroids. Difficulty urinating, that was in the case of this young woman that we talked about. The surgery is that it was difficult for her to be able to urinate because of the size and the pressure that it was putting on the bladder and the way that it was changing the dynamics and actually the shape of it. It was compressing it in a way that it was difficult for her to be able to completely empty it. So you really need to take a lot of things in consideration. And then also one of the other things is that a lot of times as women, we'll get a leakage of urine when we cough or when we laugh. That can also be an indicator. And then one of the things is that really tying it to the liver itself. I spoke briefly about anemia, but if you do suffer from uterine fibroids in particular, what you're going to find is you have a higher predisposition for excessive bleeding, which then could lead into and a state of anemia. So again, those are some of the things. And if you experience those things, the first thing I always suggest is go talk to your doctor. They will do an ultrasound, and in the ultrasound, they'll be able to determine the fibroid, the number of them, the size of them, and then we'll be able to give you information that can be also that you can use in making the decisions on what you want to do with this. When I go in and look at it from a medical intuitive standpoint, I think of fibroids as being a toxic dump site, and what I mean by that is that it has to do with maybe an overabundance of estrogen or overabundance of the fat, estrogen, liver dynamics, and so forth. But it also can be some of the old emotional wounds that we carry in our body at a very, very deep level. One of the things that I find with uterine fibroids with women is I always tend to find the element of shame or regret. And shame can be something that we experience very young and as a child, where somebody will say to us, you know, shame on you for doing that. But for some reason, it's so woundful to us and hurtful that what we do is we actually start to build off that. We feel very poorly about ourselves. Then we start getting regret that we're not living up to our potential or doing what we need to, which adds a little more dynamics to the emotional aspect of the shame itself. So it isn't uncommon for there to be some kind of elements of an emotional wound. It can be around issues of abandonment or rejection by a parent. In this case, maybe a parent saying that, you know, making you feel like you're never good enough, that you'll never be able to please her. What I find with uterine fibroids is there tends to be a lot of mother energy associated with it. And in that particular case, it usually has to do with the dynamics and those imprints that happen very early on in life. Another thing that I find consistently is that in women that have fibroids is that they've been criticized throughout their life for being too emotional and they didn't feel like they were being accepted. And here's where I started coming in and finding some of the father or the masculine energy with different males in their life or their father, where it felt like it was a real rejection or criticism. And again, a lot of women over the course of time may feel, you know, a lot of shame around crying when they get upset. Crying in my world as a medical intuitive is extremely healthy because what it does is it gets those emotions out. It literally, tears are part of the cleansing process from the holding those emotions, and we're better off as women getting those emotions out than we are really storing them inside. Also, I find that they're associated with feelings of inadequacy around not being loved or not being good enough to be loved. Maybe somebody has been hurt in a relationship that has wounded them at that real feminine part of who we are, where it's really important for us as women to feel good in our femininity, and something that's happened that's a trauma and so forth. So what it is if you think of the fibroid as being a vulnerable site as where you're holding these emotional hidden meanings, these emotions basically in it, and then the dynamics of how the body tries to be able to work with things, then what you'll be able to see is that what we just need to do is to go in, either eliminate what we're doing on a physical level, or just go in and spend some time to really reflect on our lives as females and to look at some of the deep wounds we have. And if we can't do the work ourselves, then find someone that can help you. It really is very, very beneficial, especially if you're going to be looking at surgery. I always say to women, what you want to do is go in and kind of go through your past. You don't have to do a lot of deep work, but just some of the, even the superficial things in your life that have been regrets or that you feel poorly about yourself. And let's just pack it in that fibroid, and then when it's going to be removed, then all of those emotions and experiences are removed with it. Powerful, powerful healing can be done with the mind and with fibroids. So I'm going to talk about it a little bit more as I get into the next segment, offering some other things. But I really would like to jump in right now, and I would like to take some callers. So if I can please get my producer to help me, this would be perfect. Hi, Janet. Tampa, Florida, huh, honey? Hi, Janet.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, good. Boy, you've been warm down there, haven't you?
Oh, it's always warm this time of year.
And in California, we're getting unbelievable snow. So anyway, well, thanks for the weather update, honey. How can I help you?
Well, I was wondering if hormone replacement therapy and fibroid tumors have any type of relationship. Like, I've resisted. I do have some in my breast and some, I believe, in my uterus, not causing me too much trouble these days. But my doctor is constantly saying, take this hormone therapy replacement stuff. And I've resisted it because I don't like what I read about it. And I think it alters my personality.
Oh, absolutely. It does. And, that, you know, when it comes to hormone replacement, it really is a individual woman situation where it mm-hmm. is between the woman, how she feels about it, and then also dialogue with doctor and everything. One of the things that I consistently find in my research around fibroids is that the dynamics of the estrogen is a major contributor to the formation or the growth of fibroids itself. So if you're someone that has them, then it's really important to talk to your doctor, because what you're going to be doing is you're going to be introducing back into your body these hormones that basically are lacking. And what they can do is they could maybe trigger the hormone, the fibroids themselves to grow or to perpetuate the process. So I really do believe that it has to be something that you really need to look at from the standpoint of being able to see whether it works. The other thing is for some women, these
bioidentical hormones, hormone replacement, are absolutely phenomenal. It restores the libido. It restores their enthusiasm for life. It changes the quality of their skin, their sleep, and everything else. But for other women, it can also be very detrimental from the standpoint, as I said, with fibroids, but also it could increase the risk of having breast fibroids or then also even developing breast cancer. So it really has to be something to look at. And it can change the personality to the extent that it can create a lot of the highs and lows like you had even before you went through the cycle and the change.
Yeah.
And it can bring those back. So really very wise of you to really explore it, talk to your doctor, and see what you want to do with it, honey.
Okay, yeah, I know when I start taking it, I start screaming a lot more, and I don't even know why.
Yeah. Well, and if you go back and you kind of look at your cycle and where you were in your and PMS and different things, what it may be is that in the bioidenticals, they really are as close to the human estrogen and progesterone that's possible. That's one of the real benefits of them versus some of the other things that have been used, such as Premarin, over the course of time. But they're still not natural. And one of the things as females, even though we go through the change, and we basically, for all intents and purposes, we're not producing estrogen, we still are. It's just not enough.
Okay.
So when we start playing around a little bit with Mother Nature from that standpoint, I always say to women, if you're going to do bioidenticals, work with a doctor. It's something you're going to have to revisit maybe once a month, once every 3 months, until you can get it to where it works for you.
I see. Well, that's really good advice. I listened to your show, and I heard you the other day on John Holland's show, and I thought, I got to call her one of these days. And here I am.
Well, here you are, and my gosh, and you're on air with me. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for calling me, and
thanks, honey, for
supporting my work. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. All right, let's take one more call. Pat?
Yes.
Hi, how are you, hon, from Connecticut? Is this my Pat that I know?
Yes, how are you?
I'm good. Your energy felt very familiar.
Oh, thanks.
Once we connect, Pat, you're mine and I'm yours, sweetie.
I'm sorry?
Once we connect, I'm yours and you're mine. We get to know each other. So how can I help you?
You're sweet. I hope my energy is better. I started thyroid. I wanted to ask you about the ringing in my ears and my right eye. I've had trouble with, I think it's just muscles, but and I think it's getting better. And anything that you want to pick up on, that would be great.
Okay, the thyroid itself, honey, you're going to probably have to do some adjustments on it. What did they put you on?
For the thyroid?
Uh-huh.
It's a natural one. It's like Armor, but supposed to be better.
Okay. Okay. Actually, that's very, I'm pleased to hear that. We're beginning to see more of that being prescribed by doctors and so forth. One of the things is that it's probably going to take some time for your thyroid to adjust to the dosage that you're getting. And especially when we use the natural ones versus Synthroid, something like that, that tends to be more pharmaceutical-based and not quite as natural, it comes in. And when I say not quite as natural, because it was when it first was developed from the, you know, the way that the base its host, but it's become very changed over the course of time. When we go to something that is more natural, the assumption is that our body is going to be able to accept it in a more positive and maybe in a quicker way. That isn't always the case because it depends on how long the thyroid was low, how long your body's been trying to adapt to the lack of, and then the spurts of, and then the lack of, and so forth. So it may take you a little bit of time with that. So I would encourage you to stay patient with it. And what you'll do is, it feels like even yesterday, when I kind of go back into history, very short period of time, it feels like yesterday you felt a little bit more in your skin than you did a week ago. So it feels
Absolutely.
Like it's progressing. But it's just because of where you've been, it just may take a little bit of time or multiple adjustments to get it where it needs to.
Okay.
Okay. The eye itself, you're right, it is a muscle. The actual, when I go in and start connecting the dots the way that I do, is that when I go in, it's actually not the trapezius muscle, not the big expanse of muscle that goes from the top of the brain stem all the way down to the shoulder blade area, but we have some little mastoid muscles that are deep within the neck area that are like almost like little pencil muscles. And what those do is they can become very tight. And they can become tight just because our shoulders become tight. They can become tight because of sleeping. They can become tight with grinding our teeth at night. They can become tight because the jaws themselves, hinge isn't working, or our eyes are tired and the muscles are feeling strained. So when I go in with the eye itself, it is muscular, but when I go back, it has to do with the deep little mastoid muscles on either side of your neck. So one of the things, first thing that comes to mind is if do you have one of those rice or flaxseed neck pieces that you could put in the microwave?
Did you say a bag of seeds?
Yeah, it's you can buy them at a health food store. They're just like little neck pillows that you can put in the microwave and heat for a short period of time. Some of them have flaxseed or something, or rice, some have lavender. If you could find one that has flaxseed or lavender, and what you'll do is by putting it around your neck, it will actually start releasing a lot of the tension in your neck and shoulders, and it will help put your head upright. You feel like you're favoring one side of your head. That's kind of what I'm picking up is causing these little neck muscles to feel that they're at odds, that are putting muscles, putting stress on your eyes as well. So it should be getting better. The other thing is I just got a hit on glasses. But I can't get clear whether you wear them. Do you wear glasses?
Well, I wear reading glasses. I'm an artist. I cannot see up close. My vision is really bothering me. I just had a checkup, and I'm like, okay, I've got the beginning of cataracts, but he said way too soon.
Yeah, what you're dealing with your eye, sweetie, isn't cataracts. It's actual muscle fatigue is what I'm picking up. And the reason I couldn't pick up the glasses because I couldn't pick up that it was consistent. I didn't know if you wear them and you take them off, you wear them, you take them off, or you've just decided you're just not going to wear them, but you need them. So I kept getting a lot of confusion around that. One of the things that you, did the doctor give you a new prescription or anything?
A year ago, but, you know, they're so expensive, I don't use them. I buy the $6 ones at the store and use them.
Okay, well, actually, I'm picking up that that's not a bad thing. I mean, it's not that you're doing any damage to it. When did your doctor give you a new prescription as far as your, it isn't so much your close-up as it is your range between what I would see as your, you know, canvas or your paper or anything and where you're sitting. There's a relationship. You're beginning to, it's up close, I can pick up, but that range in between up close and midway and far away feels like that's where you're experiencing a lot of the muscle tension.
Yeah, that's made me wonder if I should get bifocal so I can see at a distance as well.
Yeah, you might want to do that. Or what you might want to do, hon, is if he can, he's going to, did he give you a prescription for close up?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Then also, you know, a lot of people who work on computers or are having trouble reading price tags, you know, as they're holding up their arms not long enough, you might want to see if there's a prescription that you can get in between. And you can, if you're going to do the readers over the counter, you could also do that. Hold, you know, kind of take that reader and look at what your distance would be and then see if it would work.
Okay.
But you do need that in-between, and I think that's what's causing the muscle tension, that's causing the little muscles, that's causing the neck, and the warmth will release the toxins in the muscles so it's not as tight. And I think that's going to help your eyes tremendously.
Terrific.
Good.
Anything else I need to look at?
You've got a painting. I don't know why. There's something that you've been thinking about that you need to put on canvas.
Oh, a painting that I have to put on canvas.
Oh, yeah. There's something. There's a theme. There's a core. There's it's not really a mandala, but it's a story. There's a story that needs to be told in a picture. And it's very colorful that I'm picking up. It's got a much different texture than it feels like you normally work with. I mean, it's almost like it's got kind of a Van Gogh impressionistic look to it. from the standpoint where it's got raised areas and with the acrylic or the paint itself. But there's a story that needs to be put on canvas, and that's very important for you to do that. It's for other people in this time of change right now. It's a picture all about hope. I don't know why. That just came through.
Thank you.
You are most welcome. Thank you for calling me, sweetie, and again, always for being there, and I'll pick you up energetically as well.
Thanks. I love to talk to you. God bless.
Well, you too. God bless you, too. All right. Bye-bye. Let's go ahead and do a very quick commercial break. I'm going to come right back, talk more about fibroids, take more calls, and we can just end the show that way.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll-free at 1-877-230-3062.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Well, welcome back. Thanks for joining me. If you are just joining me for the first time in this segment of the show, I'm talking about fibroids. It's a request from a listener that I have from London, England, and she sent me an email saying that her sister suffered from fibroids and she wanted to learn more about them. And I hope, Marcia, that your sister is getting a lot of good information, as well as all of you in my as listeners. If you have a suggestion for a topic for a show that you would like to pass my way, you can go to my website, www.reitberger.com, submit it, and then if I use it on air, I'll send you an autographed copy of my book, Healing Happens with Your Health. I'd also like to invite you to join me in Andover, Massachusetts on April 9th for an event where I'm going to be sharing the stage with psychic medium John Holland and psychic medium Lauren Rainbow. The name of the event is Finding Your Way, Intuitive Messages for the Mind, Body, and Spirit. It's going to be a full-day event. It's going to be an event where Lauren Rainbow is going to be sharing her insights on the workings of the mind, the power of meditation, and how to be able to use meditation to be able to get those intuitive messages from your inner guidance to be able to help you in the decision or to give you a sense of direction. And then what John's going to be doing is he's going to be sharing how we're all linked to spirit and how we can use the messages that spirit sends us, whether it's spirits that have crossed over on the other side, or it's from spirits from our guides or our angels, and how can we connect energetically and also listen to those messages so we can use them for, again, health and well-being, and then also being able to find our way. And then I'm going to be sharing how to connect with your body, the way the energy body talks to us, the messages that it sends, how to be able to interpret those messages, how to use the body to be able to connect with the soul, to be able to connect with your inner guides. So it should be a very, very fun, filled day, one that's going to be just rich with information. And at the end of the day, then the three of us, Lauren, John, and I, are going to actually be doing a panel sitting on a panel, and you're going to be able to ask us questions. And so it should be a lot of fun. And then the following day, on Sunday, April the 10th, at Circles of Wisdom Bookstore in Andover, Massachusetts, I'm going to be doing a full-day workshop on inner guidance and how to use it to be able to really manifest what you desire. So if you'd like more information about either event, you can go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Go to the What's New section on my homepage, and then what you can do is just click on it and register. Seats are going very quickly, so if you are thinking about joining us, I encourage you to please visit, get the information, and then I hope that you will join us. It should be a lot of fun. I know I'm sure looking forward to it. Both Lauren and John are absolutely very gifted and delightful people to spend time with, so it'll be a day rich with information. Also, I'm taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about your health or you want to talk about fibroids, since that's the topic that we're working with today, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good, U.S. and Canada, and also for international callers. Now, if you were listening to me in the last segment, what you heard me share is how, as a medical intuitive, I really go in and look for the hidden meanings behind fibroids, because I find so many times that it's those emotions that we are afraid to express and we keep suppressed that basically come in and really go in and cause these toxic sites to basically develop in sites such as in the breast or in the uterus itself. And then you'll also notice that I offer a lot of different perspectives. And the reason for that is, again, fibroids, one size doesn't fit all, whether it comes to hidden meanings or it comes to what's happening in the female body. So we really have to look at really fibroids from a personal reflective state and then how we feel about ourselves as women. One of the things that I have found is that women that tend to have been sexually exploited, whatever that may mean, tends to have a higher predisposition for fibroids themselves, and specifically uterine fibroids. And in this particular case, I talked a little bit about shame, but when it comes in, not only in the uterine fibroids where we have this kind of violation that takes place, what I find is not only the shame that seems to be energetically stored in the uterine fibroids, but I also find this real confusion around the betrayal issues that we as women deal with. So when you go in and look at fibroids, think of them as the symbolism of shame, the symbolism of something that's happened, the rejection of ourselves, or maybe that we're blaming ourselves for something that, quite frankly, was something that I do believe we create everything in our life, but I do believe that we are not the lead in everything that happens in our life. So a lot of times we bury a lot of things as women because we don't want to let it out. We don't want to appear vulnerable. We don't want to burden other people. And again, I go back, and one of the things that I always share is tears are very, very healthy. They are a way of, I always say, cleaning the lens of the soul, which of course is the sixth chakra in our eyeballs, so we can see more clearly, see holistically, and tears are those relief valves, part of the relief mechanism and the valves that we have in our body that says we can't keep these emotions inside very deeply because it can be very, very unhealthy for us. So some of the things that we can do to help make fibroids go away, again, from a physical standpoint, caffeine is a major contributor. The minute that you are diagnosed with a fibroid, I always encourage women, please get off of caffeine, because what the caffeine does is that really, it isn't that caffeine really triggers the fibroids, but caffeine is very difficult for the body to be able to rid itself of, both the liver and the kidneys. In fact, in my world, as a medical intuitive, a good cup of Joe that's highly, high octane or high lead takes 48 hours to be able to be completely eliminated from the body. So if you do tend to drink caffeine coffee or you drink caffeine carbonated drinks and so forth, what you're going to be doing is you're just going to be overloading the liver's ability to be able to do its job the way it needs to. And then also if you're in the childbearing years where you have elevated levels of estrogen, then the liver's not going to be able to process it as effectively as it needs to. Talked about fats, eat healthy fats. if you're interested in what those look like, you might want to look at books that refer to the Mediterranean diet. You will want to look at grapeseed oil, olive oil, things that are naturally low in saturated fats, no trans fats associated with them. So those are the things you'll want to look at. Also, if you are a meat eater, you'll want to go to meat that is very, very lean. And then what you'll want to do is avoid meats that are enriched with hormones to be able to help the animal get, you know, more plump or more beefed up or whatever it may be. And then also, by the same token, you will want to look for dairy products that also have these synthetic compounds of estrogen in them. So, again, things that go as natural as possible. That's one of the things I always share. Go as close to nature. If what you're going to put in your mouth has five or more ingredients in it, then really ask yourself, is this something that you want to do? Once you start to eat that way, you'll eat a lot more fruits and vegetables, higher grains, green, red, orange, yellow foods, and that's very, very healthy for the body. Also, smoking. Smoking does tend to tax the body in many, many different levels, and it is very difficult on the liver itself. And I mentioned carbonated drinks with caffeine. Also, there tends, and some of the newest research is beginning to show that there's a potential link between aspartame and these artificial sweeteners, and then also fibroids. But in this particular case, the research is showing that it's more prone to breast fibroids than it is uterine fibroids. There's some natural therapies that you can use. Soy products. Again, it's important for you to know where you are in your estrogen years as far as the flow of estrogen. Soy is a natural estrogen. It's very, very effective in giving us what we need. But if you tend to be estrogen dominant, a lot of women are going to have difficulty with soy. Eat lots of, fiber. Fiber helps the liver process and excrete any excess estrogen. Eat more citrus fruits, red onions, and leafy greens. What this does, it increases the vitamin C, vitamin A, and vitamin E, which are all found to be very effective in managing fibroid growth or causing the fibroids themselves to actually shrink. Also increase magnesium. There tends to be a link between deficiency in magnesium and fibroids, especially uterine fibroids, because this deficiency creates stagnation in the walls of the uterine muscles, and it makes the liver have to work harder. Acupuncture, massage, Tai Chi. This actually, Tai Chi and the movement, mindfulness, the way it stretches and moves the lower pelvic floor and everything, sends energy to the uterine area, and it keeps the uterus pliable, the muscles around it pliable, and can be very helpful. And then also, reflexology is very effective in working with fibroids itself. And reflexology, you can work with a reflexologist, but it's the outside of the heel area, actually, that is associated with the uterus. So if you want to go in and do any self-reflexology, that's the area that you're going to be working on. Now, if you would like to know more about fibroids or fibrocystic disease itself, then what you can do is I invite you to go to my website, www.richberger.com, RITBERGER.com. On the right-hand side of my site, down at the bottom, you'll actually see an icon that has teleclass archives. You just click on that, takes you to the page, look at fibroids, click on that, and we even have a try before you buy, so you'll actually be able to listen to a brief part of the teleclass I did on it and then read the first page. So if you suffer from fibroids, rich with information in these downloads available for purchase, or if someone else does, please send them to my website. And what it'll do is give a holistic perspective of what we're dealing with different illnesses. I have 22 illnesses on there. Again, I'm having a stress teleclass on March 31st. So lots of information. I hope that you'll all find that very, very helpful. So, again, thank you very much, Marcia. Thank you all for the suggestions and for listening. But, you know, I want to end this show by let's take in a couple calls. What I want to do is let's go with Lowell, please. Okay, let's go to Gail. Hi, Gail.
Hello.
Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm stunned. I had you on speakerphone and was listening to the computer, and
I can't believe I'm on with you. I should, because I have begged my angels and everybody else to get me on today. How are you?
Come on, good, sweetie. And you know what? I feel the same way about you. It's like, you know, it feels like you and I have been trying to touch base with each other for a long time. Is that true?
It is true.
Well, yeah. Good. Good for you. Good for me. How can I help you, sweetie?
Well, originally, I missed the first part of your show, and then when you were talking about hormones and whatnot, I began to change my question around. But originally, I was going to ask if you pick up any, like, low blood sugar with me. Lately, for about the past month or month and a half, I get up in the morning and just am so weak and scared feeling and real careful about what I eat, just trying to eat, you know, lots of fruit and high protein and laying off dairy and wheat and that type of thing. But then this time of day, I begin to feel normal again.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking, is it because I've crammed enough food in there that finally something hit, or what it is? But then there's this other question. I don't want to sound like I'm crazy, but oftentimes I do pick up on other people's stuff.
Yes, you do.
And I'm always, like, if I'm out working in the yard or whatever and suddenly have a feeling, then I'll have a thought about a family member or friend and think, well, this is not mine, this is theirs. I'm having these major problems trying to decide what is mine and what is somebody else's.
Yeah.
Well, and with this weak, scared feeling that I'm having, I'm wondering if it has to do with my dad. He has atrial fib and high blood pressure, and he's on all these meds, and, you know, watching him over a long period of time just kind of get weaker and weaker. He's 87 years old and, you know, is just not having that great a quality of life as far as, you know, physically.
Well, and, you know, let's go and let's do this from multiple levels. And first of all, I want to say, yes, you're highly developed in your intuition. Yes, you are empathic, so I'll come back to that.
Okay.
It's just like I needed to give your brain something. It's like, okay, cross that off. Let's go to the body.
Okay.
One of the things is that, actually, sweetie, this has been coming on for about 4 months as far as this low energy and everything. One of the things, have you had your thyroid checked?
No.
Okay. I would encourage you to either find a naturopath that can run blood work, integrative medicine doctor. Thank you. And then integrated medicine doctor or a doctor, go get your thyroid checked. And what we want them to do is we want them to check you for hypoglycemia.
That's what I thought.
And one of the things with that is that when you start eating and you start getting your blood sugar back level the way that it needs to, then it takes the body a short period of time to metabolize it. So then that's why you'll get the energy after a period of time. But you want them to check you on that. And my sense is that what that we're really experiencing isn't so much an insulin issue, while the insulin's being involved in it, the pancreas, because pancreas and thyroid are bosom buddies. When one hiccups, the other does. When the thyroid hiccups, so does the pancreas itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it feels like it has to do with hormones. You feel like your hormones are bouncing around as well. So you might, if you're going to a doctor, talk to the doctor also about your highs and lows, some of your loss of enthusiasm, your feelings of being overwhelmed, and so forth, and see and have the doctor help connect the dots and see if there's something that we can, you know, look at that could be causing this thyroid to bounce around the way it is. Will be important for you to eat multiple times a day, probably 6 times minimum.
Mm-hmm.
That'll help your body be able to sustain the sugar level it needs. It'll help your thyroid oxidize the glucose, the pancreas secrete the insulin, and that will help you a lot with the dynamics as well.
Okay.
The other part of it is Marcel
Pick, don't you?
Pardon me, sweet?
Marcel Pick with Hay Howe.
Yes.
I was just looking at her website the other night.
Very good. Good.
Because I'm not liking the hormone replacement kind of idea.
Yeah. So what you want to do, that would be a very good place to start.
Okay.
The other thing is right now you're feeling so much sorrow, deep sorrow I can feel inside of you. And you're picking up so much of what's happening not only within your own family and sphere of influence, but what's happening globally.
Mm-hmm.
And in that particular process, there's so much going on that it's very easy to take our energy and to bring it down into the first chakra where we get caught up in a lot of the fear of the unknown or the fear around survival. Even though it may not be ours, we're still going to be very susceptible. And the fact that you're empathic, where you pick this up not only at an energetic level, but you actually pick it up from the people you're around or with your father or people at work. It feels like there's a lot of kind of down and uncertainty at work. So you've got a lot on your plate, sweetie.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you can do in that particular case is on a daily basis take what I call a joy break and then just go do something for a short period of time, visualization, breathing, look at Louise Hay, what she offers in affirmations. Something that you can say to yourself that can get you to a place where you can use that as kind of your quick pick-me-up and booster.
Right.
And then what it'll do is when you find yourself in the energy dropping, whether it's physically with what's going on or just emotionally what's going on, then what you'll want to do is then come up with a visualization or an affirmation and then say that at that time, and pretty soon you'll reprogram yourself.
Mm. Do you think I need to take a nuclear stress test?
It would be very, very helpful for you to do that, yes.
Okay.
It would be very helpful for you to do that. So, all right?
I love you so much, Carrie.
Oh, well, thank you, and I'm so glad we got to finally connect. You know, we've been vicariously friends in the world of energy.
We're going to meet in person one day.
That sounds very good. Well,
thanks
I would like to thank all of you for joining me today. It's been a wonderful show. Thanks again for the suggestion, Marcia, from London, England. And then all of you, thanks for joining me. I'm going to see you next Wednesday on the radio at 10 o'clock a.m. Please come back. This is Hay House. Woo, that's a long time. www.contacttalkradio.com. Have a wonderful week and light and love to all of you.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.